1 Kings chapter 18. There are some tremendous, exciting, interesting, practical stories in the Bible. A lot of them. David and Goliath. Amen? And the fact that when we fight giants, God fights with us. Or Daniel in the lion's den. Or the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Or Jonah and the whale. Or Noah's Ark. And Moses crossing the Red Sea. But this story that we're beginning tonight, and we're going to really see the meat of it next Sunday night, although tonight's got a lot of meat. But this story is one of my favorite. What's the old joke that someone told? They said, I read the end of the book and God wins. But God wins in the middle too. At the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and it looked to everyone as if there had been a defeat at the cross, God won. When you got saved and the devil was wanting to take you to hell and you got saved, God won. When you and I go out and witness to somebody, even when they don't get saved, the Bible says it's a sweet savor unto the Lord. When the gospel is presented, God wins. And then sometimes we get the privilege of seeing the victory like we're going to see in this story. I remember when I first went into the ministry as a full-time pastor, there were two or three things that just became very real to me. And I used to think, and I've probably told some of you this before, I used to think that, yeah, okay, we know that in the end when we die, we get to go to heaven and that's victory. And we know that in the end that people that are lost, they're going to die and go to hell and they're going to be judged and that's justice. And I used to kind of think that you had to wait until somebody died to see that. But no, God judges in this life and God delivers in this life. So the title of the message is The Ultimate Contest, and we're not going to see the contest tonight, but Elijah is willing to put his God, our God, Elijah is willing to put his God up against the God of the prophets of Baal. Now, the God of the prophets of Baal is a figment of their imagination. Our God is real. Amen. So Elijah, when he meets Ahab, remember Israel's problem, and they had this problem over and over and over again. Their problem was idolatry. You don't see a lot of practical, or I shouldn't say practical, you don't see a lot of... Well, I don't know what word to use, but you don't see the kind of idolatry in our nation that you see in some nations. If you go to Thailand, for example, on many of the street corners, there will be a place, it's a temple to a false god. You walk along in the streets in Thailand, down Main Street in the heart of Bangkok, and every business in the back, there's a little spirit house. It's usually covered in Christmas lights. All I can figure is spirits must need to have some light in order to see. I don't know how that works. It's a little thing. It's usually 2 or 3 feet off the floor. And these people believe if you don't have one of those, you're in trouble with I don't know who, but somebody. And aren't you glad we haven't got to have that kind of idolatry? But we have idolatry. You know a God? You know who your God is? Your God is who you serve. Your God is who you trust in. Your God is the one that you hope in and you call upon. And aren't you glad we have a real God and not an imagination? You go to the hospital, you can have all the money in the bank that you want. And you can have the best doctor that you want. Still depends on God, doesn't it? Someone says, I got enough money, Pastor, I don't need God. Well, when you're in the hospital, you will. When your nation that thinks we're one of the wealthiest nations in the world, nation thinks, we're so wealthy, we don't need God. And then something happens, 9/11 or whatever, and all of a sudden you hear us calling on God. And so Elijah, when he meets Ahab here, and that's what we're going to see tonight, they've been having this famine, this drought for 3.5 years or so, 3 years. They've been having this drought, and it's gotten bad. The animals have died, many of them, and the people are starving, and there's not any food. The brooks dried up and so on. And the reason they're having this drought is because of idolatry. Guess what? You can have all the money you want. You still need God to make it rain. We're in a drought right now in Phoenix. And I don't know if you can appreciate it, because we're always, it seems to me like we're always in a drought. But I'd like for it to rain. It's been a long time since it's rained here. You know who can make it rain? God. So this ultimate contest, Elijah is going to come to Ahab, and he's going to propose the contest. And let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. And I'm going to read 1 Kings 18. We're just going to start the story tonight. We're going to read verses 17 through 24. You'll see the contest develop as we read these verses. And Elijah is the one calling for it. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning in verse 17, it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" And he answered, Elijah answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose 1 bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight that we have a God that hears us, a God that helps us, a God that heals us. Help us tonight as we meet here. God, just take things out of our minds that would distract us, and help us to focus on the Word of God. And I pray tonight that you would be a great God to your people. And Lord, we would ask that your Holy Spirit would consume us, that we would be filled with the Spirit, that you would take us far from sin, and you'd give us strength over temptation. And Lord, tonight, that you would help us just for a moment to revel in the fact that we have a God who is really and truly a God that can be trusted, and a God that can deliver. And I pray that you'd bless us now and give us a good evening in your house. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 17, Ahab asked Elijah, he says, I don't want to mess this up. He says, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" You got to admit, Israel was in trouble. And sometimes trouble comes into our life, doesn't it? Health trouble, financial trouble, family trouble, other types of trouble. There are several reasons for trouble, and be very careful. Sometimes the Lord uses trouble to direct us from one place to another, or to chasten us, perhaps. But most often it seems like the Lord uses trouble just to get glory by delivering us. If you never, ever had any problems, that you needed to be delivered from, then when would you get a chance to see God in action? And some of the greatest experiences you're going to have in life, the stories that we talk about, that I talked about a while ago in the Bible, they all center around somebody being delivered from trouble. The giant was trouble. Goliath was trouble, and David defeated him. God defeated him. Amen? The fiery furnace was trouble, and the Lord Jesus Christ was in the fire with the Hebrew children and delivered them. Amen? Trouble is not something that we are afraid of. We don't go looking for trouble. Sometimes it seems like trouble comes looking for us, but we have a God that's greater than the trouble. So it's not such a bad thing that they're having trouble. The reason they're having trouble is really the question. And the question is not, did Elijah cause it? The question is, why did you turn away from the God of heaven and worship a false God? And folks, if we do that, we're going to have trouble. If you stop trusting in God and you start trusting in, I don't know, yourself, your job, your strength, your career, your ability, the world, your money, whatever, there's going to be trouble. Now, it's interesting, and historically, I could show you this as well. It seems like a lot of the time, people tend to blame the trouble on God or God's people. And you might know that in history, for example, when Rome burnt and there's a lot of speculation. Remember the story of Nero and how he let a lot of Rome burn? And you may have heard that he was playing the fiddle while Rome burned. We actually had the chance to visit Rome one time. And the place that Nero built after the fire is still there. And it's really amazing. Some of it is anyway. And the theory is that maybe Nero burned it because he wanted to have room for what he wanted to build. But when it was all over, they blamed the Christians. Ah, it's the Christians' fault. And the reason we're being judged by our gods is because of these Christians, and they blamed it on the Christians. And sometimes the world today blames us for its troubles, doesn't it? I guarantee you that's an element in this election, that there are people that think that the reason they're not happy is because of the government. If you need the government to make you happy, you got a big problem. Amen. If you need the government to take care of you, you got a big problem. I don't mind having the government do this and that, but I trust my God to take care of me. So there's trouble, and the question is, whose fault is it? People who disregard God's will often blame God or his people for their troubles. That's what Ahab did. Elijah, you're the one that troubleth Israel. But the trouble was they were disregarding. They were, as he explains it in verse 18, they had forsaken God's commandments, and they had followed Balaam. That's the source of the trouble. And Ahab was leading them into this, and his wife was facilitating it by providing for these 450 prophets of Baal. They're following a false god. And if you're following a false god, you deserve trouble. And you're going to have trouble. And when you really need deliverance, that's the ultimate contest. Is your God going to be there? That's what Elijah is doing here. He's setting up a contest. Who can deliver you? Can your money deliver you? Can your idol deliver you? That's the question. We know the answer. No. Can God deliver you? Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 130 in verse 7, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. Let Israel hope in the Lord." And again, we're not Israel, but we can hope in the Lord, can't we? Amen. And I like the way that verse ends, and it reminds us of what Israel was going to do. They did sin. They had turned away from God. Aren't you glad when you turn away from God that he'll let you come back? That's good. And it fascinates me sometimes. How many church services have you been in, and do you realize in every single one of those church services that anybody in that room could have come before God and made things right? That's a merciful God. God can forgive a lot better than we can, can't he? And the Lord is ready to receive folks that will turn back to him. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 146 and verse 5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." And then Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. You know, that word blessed has to do with happiness. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Whose fault was the trouble really? Well, the trouble was really because they had taken their eyes and their hope off of God and put it somewhere else. Why would someone do that? Why is it that sometimes we take our eyes off of God and put them on something else? It's because our faith gets weak. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. You've seen what money can do, and you've seen, if you have the money, that you can do this or that with it. And we make the assumption that since I can see that, that's something that's real to me. You know what? God ought to be real to us. And it's interesting. Look at how God's been providing for Elijah and the widow woman, just a little at a time, but God provided. So the source of the trouble is not Elijah. The source of the trouble is Israel's idolatry, which Ahab had led them into. So whose fault is it? That's the first question that's asked here. And then here's a question. Which God are you going to trust? And look at verse 19. Now, Elijah is talking here, and I won't read it all verbatim again, but he says to Ahab, he says, here's what you need to do. Get all of Israel to come to Mount Carmel. Now, if you ever have a chance to visit Israel, you're probably going to see Mount Carmel. It's not the way it was back in this day. Mount Carmel today, oh, I don't know how to describe it. Short trees here and there. It's got trees, but not really big ones. And it's kind of rolling hills, it looks like. You know, we think of mountains. I think of Utah when I think of mountains. Israel doesn't have that kind of mountains. It's got more of a rolling hills. And back in this day, though, Mount Carmel, as its name implies, was forested. It had a lot of trees. And Mount Carmel is up in the northern part of Israel. You can look at a map. There's no point in me pointing that out to you. But it's a place that was easy to get to. It was kind of centralized. It's not too far away from the coast. And Elijah says, bring everybody here. We're going to have a contest, and here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to get the 450 prophets of Baal. Sounds to me like there were some other fellows involved as well, but we don't see that number later on. And get the people here, and let's find out who God really is. Sometimes Christians try to straddle the fence. That's what Israel was doing, and that's why he says in verse 21, how long halt ye between two opinions? You know, we say, and we do trust God, but then we also want to trust some other things. And don't you like it how God has a way of taking other things away so you can learn to trust just in him? And he does. And so Israel was divided. They could see Ahab leading them towards the idolatry, and they knew about the Lord. And they're trying to straddle the fence. Folks, let's not straddle the fence. Amen? Let's just trust the Lord. Who can you trust? Whose God are you going to trust? Get the prophets of Baal and have them show themselves. You know, whatever God you serve, you ought to be willing to stand up for him. Amen? You guys that want to serve Baal, come on over here and identify yourselves. Oh, you know how the story ends? Those guys are all, I'll use the word executed, because they're worshiping a false god. But we ought to be willing to stand up and identify ourselves as we worship the God of heaven. We do not worship just any god. I don't worship the God of the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, or the God of the Mormons, or even the God of the Catholics, really. I definitely don't worship the God of Islam. I worship the God of the Bible. And we shouldn't be ashamed to say that. Show yourselves. Come on out. Let's make this a public thing. You want to trust in Baal, then come on over here and let's see what Baal can do. That's what Elijah is saying to him. I like this guy. He's got a good idea here, a good spirit. Whatever God you serve, be counted for him. We're going to have a contest. We're going to see whose God is real. Just as today and just as almost always, the ratio between the relation or the count between the number of people that worship false gods and the number that worship the God of the Bible, there's a lot of people worshiping false gods and very few worshiping the God of the Bible. In this case, anywhere from 450 to 850 to 1. Folks, it does not matter if you're in the minority, because let me tell you something, you and God together against the whole world, you're in the majority. Amen. And Elijah knew that. He was mentioning this ratio, this number of false prophets that were going to show up, 450 of these guys. But that didn't intimidate him, because his God's bigger. Our God's bigger, amen? And the ratio doesn't matter. So just like today, there was a lot more that didn't follow God than did. And I sure like the question in verse 21. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. That's good advice for us today, isn't it? You know, I hear people from time to time, and they, Pastor, I haven't got time to serve God. I got to serve something else. I got to serve money, or I got to do this, or I got to do that. Let's give God priority, amen? Just like, as I mentioned today earlier, we want him to give us priority. You can't have God and idols. You need to make up your mind. Have you made up your mind? You're going to follow the Lord, amen? Now, there's a big if here in verse 21. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people are interested but quiet. Let's see where this guy's going with this. I think today we need to decide we're going to trust God and then live that way. You know, it kind of comes back to what we were talking about in our prayer life. When you pray believing, nothing doubting. Do we have a God that can move a mountain? Amen. And I don't need to doubt. I don't doubt his ability. Sometimes I don't understand his will. I need to look for that. But I don't doubt that God will answer my prayer. He said he would. I sure do doubt those other false idols. And that's where Elijah's going with this. Let's just see, folks. You want to have a God that can deliver you, don't you? That's what he's saying to him. So let's find out which God can do that. Which God are you going to trust? If it's the Lord, follow him. If it's Baal, follow him. And, you know, today there's a lot of things a lot of people have tried. Psychology, government. Oh, I could name all sorts of things that people kind of hope in as delivering them. Let's just trust the Lord. So then in verse 22, Elijah said unto the people, he says, I'm the only one that remains of the prophets of the Lord. Baal's got 450. Let him therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock. You know, they can take either one. Trust me, when God wants to bring fire down, which bullock you picked isn't going to make any difference, right? He says, let them pick one. I'll take the other one. Put them on altars, cut them up, put them on altars, get them ready. And in verse 24, look at this. Call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. Here's the last question. Which God is going to answer your call? Amen? You know, I haven't got a wallet with me. I don't carry a wallet anymore. I haven't got... If I had some currency, all I've got here is a piece of paper. It's a Bible camp pamphlet. But if I had a dollar bill here, you know, you can talk to that dollar bill all you want. It's not going to answer you. There's no prayer going to be answered by money. There's no prayer going to be answered by psychology. There's no prayer going to be answered when you're trusting in yourself. We have a God that can listen when we call. We have a God that loves us. It's not just, if you look at what's happening here, it's not just whether he's able to deliver. He's willing to answer. Amen? I think a good God, a good choice of a God to have would be one that would listen to me. And he does. And that's what Elijah's saying here to him. He says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call in verse 24 on the name of our God. You call on your God, I'll call on the name of the Lord. And then here's the last part, and maybe the best part. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. We know what's going to happen, don't we? We have a God that can answer. And all it's going to take in this case is one miracle. And that one miracle is going to open Israel's eyes to who God is. And I can't wait till we get to that passage here in the future. But he says, you know, they've got this God and they can call on him. And they got a bunch of them that can call on him. They can make a lot of noise. We've got a real need here. We have a real situation. There is a sacrifice to be consumed. And back to the trouble thought for a minute. You and I have real needs. And we need a God that can meet those needs. And we need a God that will hear us when we call on him to meet those needs. Who are you going to pick for your God, Isaiah or Elijah says? You're going to pick a God that can't perform? You're going to pick a God that can't hear? That won't answer? He says, call on the name of your gods. And he says, the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Now the people perk up a little bit. And at the end of that verse, which is where we're going to stop tonight in verse 24, all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. We live in a day when there are people that have turned their back on God. And they've got trouble. And they've got idols, whether it's not so likely that it's going to be a statue in the corner somewhere as it is just something they're trusting in other than God. And they're hoping for that idol to deliver them. And folks, we need to show them that there is a God. Amen? My wife and I, throughout the years, I can still remember when we went into the ministry, and her family kind of thought we were crazy. I was a very well-paid computer programmer, and we had a career and had possessions and position and opportunity. And we said, nope, God's called us into the ministry. We're going to leave that. And they were flabbergasted. And as time went on, God took care of us. And I believe God took better care of us than he would have if we'd just been disobedient. Don't you? You say, well, if I obey God, it's going to cost me something. Have you ever thought of what it might cost you if you disobeyed God? Israel kind of missed that, and now there's no water. Now there's trouble. We need to obey God. Amen? And in the end, I can tell you this, just as with this story, in the end, it's going to be obvious who was right. But we got to wait until you see where the fire comes from. And that's what's going to happen next week. But the people did say one thing right. They said this. They said, okay, we like that idea. It makes sense, they said, that whoever it is that can perform, that's the God that we ought to follow. Now, let me ask you, is God done performing today? I don't think so. You say, well, Pastor, there's trouble, and God hasn't delivered me yet. Give him a chance. You may not see the oil running down the side of the cruise or the flour in the barrel every day, but it seems to always be there when you need it, doesn't it? And then sometimes God answers in big ways. We kind of talked about that earlier. And in ways we don't expect. You know, Mark read the missionary letter from Nelson Dorr. I remember when that young man he's reading about, I preached in a backyard. I've told you this story about preaching in a backyard with a bare light bulb hanging down. And that young man that night led the singing, as I recall. I remember this. He was there, and his Bible was just in pieces. I mean, he had one of those Bibles that you could kind of take it and spread it across the table because it was just falling apart. And I felt bad about that. And I told the missionary, I said, what would it cost to get him a Bible? He said, oh, about $20. And I thought, how can you not help? $20. And I said, would you do me something? Do a favor for me. Would you give him a new Bible? And I'll pay for it. That's nothing. You know, that's a few trips to the coffee shop or whatever. And gave him the money. They bought him a Bible. And they told me a while later that after the Bible had been given to him, They said, you should have seen his eyes when he got that Bible. Now, I just let God use me. That Bible came from God. Amen? Amen? Folks, God can use you and I, can't he? Elijah says, let's find out who the real God is. When you're in trouble, who gives you hope? When you're in trouble, who are you going to call on and who's going to answer? When you're in trouble, who can really help? That's who ought to be your God. Amen? And that's the contest. And you don't need to read ahead to find out who's going to win, do you? So we know right now, just thinking about that criteria right there, we don't have to read ahead to see whether or not God's going to come through. What about in your life and mine? Do you need to read ahead to find out whether God's going to help or not? Whether God's going to deliver or not? Does it really, do you have to see into the future somehow? Is there really any question of whether God's going to take care of you? Whether God's going to answer? I don't think so. If you'll trust him, amen? And that's the whole point here. Elijah says, now think of the situation. Elijah is one. Ahab, he's not on Elijah's side. Jezebel, she's so wicked, you're going to find out later, even after God wins the contest, she's not on Elijah's side. The people, right now, they're thinking, let's see what happens here. We got Elijah, we got the prophets of Baal, and we got these two altars. They're not on Elijah's side yet. And you got the 450 prophets of Baal, they're never going to be on Elijah's side. What if God doesn't deliver? Elijah's in big trouble, isn't he? He hadn't got a chance. He's not going to have anybody on his side if God doesn't deliver. So do you see what he did? He put himself in a position to where he said, I trust God so much, I am willing to be the only one if that's what it takes. But I trust God so much, I believe, even though my life will be destroyed if God doesn't answer, I think God's going to answer. Amen? Doesn't that give glory to God? Can you trust God that much? What illustration can I use? There's so many things in life. If God doesn't come through, we're in big trouble. You can start with salvation. Aren't you? I don't have any question in my mind. Danny Mullaney is with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. He trusted Christ as his Savior, I don't know, 7-8 years ago. I don't have any question at all. When I die, to be absent from the body's present with the Lord. No question about that whatsoever. I don't need to trust in my good works or my baptism, my church membership, or joining the right church or some priest to forgive my sins. None of that. I just trust the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. And I'm willing to stake my eternity on that. And you are too. Amen? I hope you are. But what about in this life? Are you willing to say, I'm going to follow God, even though it could cost me everything if he doesn't take care of me? But why even say the last phrase? He's going to take care of you. Amen? That's what Elijah did. If God had not delivered and brought that fire down to consume that offering we're going to see next week, Elijah would have been dead in a moment. Even then, just like the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace, he'd have still been right with God. But that's just not what God does. God takes care of us. And our trusting him when it doesn't look like it's possible. Are you kidding me? We're going to have, oh, by the way, I don't want to get ahead of myself too much, but they're going to pour water on top of this thing. Let's just make it look really hard. Nothing's hard for God. They're going to pour water on this thing. And you say, well, how on earth is that thing going to catch on fire? How on earth is that thing going to be consumed? The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Just like that. He trusted God. He knew what God could do. He knew God would hear him. He put himself in a position to where God had to deliver, and God did. That brings glory to God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes just for a moment.